Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Oh, tonight we got them. Goldie the Sulk and JC.
The disgusting display.
And it starts right now.
Next week?
No, not yet. We're not done.
Oh, wait.
First joke of the day.
It took me by surprise.
Oh, God. It was funny because I was trying to stifle a burp.
I saw
as
that.
We were starting. Yeah. And
it was perfect.
Goldie jumped in to cover that, which is excellent. So, blah, blah, blah. Typical disgusting display podcast for writers by writers who hate writing. And I want to talk about something right up top because JC, and you'll have to, I hope you can name check who sent this to you because a friend sent you a clip from another podcast called We Might Be Drunk, which I've heard of. And that's like Mark Norman and another, a couple of New York comics, very funny guys. And it's one of those podcasts that's like, unlike ours, is incredibly successful.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who, yes, it had hundreds of thousands of views when I was looking at their YouTube. So I can only imagine the podcast does the same. But they had on British comedian Jimmy Carr, who is one of the, you know, I would say the handful of the most popular comedians in England and has been for a couple of decades. We have a friend, Anthony Jeselnik, who we sort of came up with in comedy together. And unlike us, he's experienced immense success. But the thing about Jeselnik, if you watch him, he has hard jokes. He has great jokes. They're hard jokes. Jimmy Carr is like that in England. He has really great, hard jokes. And, cool. You know, his specials are hilarious and offensive and all that stuff. So he's a guest on this We Might Be Drunk podcast. And out of nowhere, he starts talking about our podcast.
Yes.
He says like, yes, he says, I don't know if, you know, he's telling the other comedians, of course, they had never heard of us.
Yeah, but no, he, sort of, did he set it up by going, okay, here's the most obscure thing I know.
Yeah, right. The turd in the rough. So he starts talking about the show. He almost gets the title right. He says a typically disgusting display, which is a totally forgivable mistake, especially for someone from England who's never heard of the original Johnny Most line.
Of course.
We'll change it to whatever he wants.
Yeah, whatever Jimmy, whatever you want us to be called, that's what we'll be.
Jimmy, join our
and
show.
And he knew the tagline of the show, you know, for writers by writers who hate writing. And he specifically highlighted the fact, and that I found this kind of annoying but great, that they do a Carson monologue every week. And he said they're joke writers and they want to, you know, show like, this is what you do. This is how you write jokes. And he said, sometimes they're terrible. Sometimes they're amazing.
So
you can't argue with that. And we'll prove that again later, probably the former. But it was so nice, and it was
incredible.
One of those things, Goldie, and I know we all kind of feel the same way on here, JC, too. It's like sometimes during the week, I'm sure we all think, like, why the fuck are we doing this?
Mm-hmm,
like, what is this?
Right
like,
now!
Right now.
Last night,
so,
every
this
day.
Is the time during the week, usually right now. But it's comments like these from people we respect and we like that really keep us going. And now I feel like, well, we got to do another few months for Jimmy Carr.
Yeah. Also, let me shout out. This was sent to us by, I hope I'm saying this correctly, Domenico Farelli. So, or Dom was my guess. So,
Dom Farelli. Yo.
Yeah, he's English. So, that's where he's from. So, thank you, Dom.
the English Italian. I love that. Domenico Farelli. I like that. But
is
so,
that Jimmy, an alias of Dr. Mario Ferrari? Our other super fan. Yes.
That's right.
That'd be amazing.
Right?
Yes.
I can't believe you remembered that.
I know.
Well, he complimented me. Of course I remember.
Right. Oh, right. Yes, yes.
He didn't like you as much.
Well, then don't listen to the Jimmy Carr thing because he name checks me and you know, with like you as crickets. Yeah, and that's another thing. He said, "Oh, it's the Family Guy writers, and you know, the Sulk, and the two comics on there go, oh yeah, the Sulk is funny on Twitter." So it's clear that everybody's operating on decades old information. Like nobody knows anything about anyone anymore. But there was something from the past that they remembered. Anyway, Jimmy Carr, James, may I call you James? Thank you so much for the shout out, and I'm sure this will somehow end up in you having to do us a 2-hour favor at some point by being on the show.
I hope
you bring up that he said, you know, sometimes they're terrible, sometimes they're great. It reminds me of one of my all-time favorite Weekend Update jokes, which was a Colin Quinn joke. And it was John Rocker, who was the relief pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, had said these inflammatory comments about riding on the 7 train to Shea Stadium. And he said, you know, there's like a gay guy, whatever, and a person in a dress, and there someone with AIDS, whatever. He said all these things, and the New York tabloids went crazy. And so Colin Quinn says, you know, Rocker said this about, and he said that, and he highlighted this group, and he goes, "Say what you want about John Rocker, but he's definitely ridden on the 7 train."
That is a great joke.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Ross Abrash. Yeah. So, you know, we'll get to Goldie. I know you had some stuff to say about Thanksgiving in a minute, but I just wanted, this will hopefully be a logical preamble for that. I'm on Cape Cod now. My medium place. I will call it my happy place. It's my okay place. But something that I've noticed, we've been, you know, Levy is here seeing her friends. And so we've had a lot of interactions with the other parents here who we got to know over years of living here. And Goldie, I remember you had a rant a few months ago about you can't hit kids anymore, but you kind of wish that there was like the looming threat of it to help with parenting. So I've noticed something here on Cape Cod, which is very far from the, you know, sort of hippy dippy parenting of Los Angeles, where you can't even look at a kid or, you know, anything like that. On Cape Cod, and this has happened now with a few sets of parents, the kids are going nuts. You know, they're running around, they're eating chocolate. It's all the food of mayhem. The holidays. So they're, it's mayhem. And I've noticed several separate parents, they're not hitting their kids. I'm not going to out anyone like that. But what they do is they give them the real grab in the fleshy part of the arm.
Ooh.
With the, "Hey, stop it. I don't want to tell you again, stop it." And I thought to myself, is this a good middle ground? Like, can we agree that the grabbing the arm of the kid could be in play? Like, Goldie, what do you think about this?
Did it work?
Oh,
it totally worked.
Interesting.
It was a lot of like, I'm not going to tell you again.
Here's where I thought this was going. I thought you were going to say people were hitting their kids. And then I was thinking like, is there a service where you take a vacation where you're allowed to hit your kids? Like you can book this trip and you go to a place.
All the rules are paradise
where you're allowed to hit your kids, but no reason.
They have security cameras, but they're tilted towards the sky.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, I think it's fine.
I mean, it almost makes you wonder why they're scared. It means that there's some sort of history at home. It makes you sort of like...
let's not delve too deep.
It seems like kind of a gateway to hitting your kids, though.
Right.
Like, it seems like once you're grabbing the arm, when that doesn't work, next thing you know, you're hitting your kid.
I know. But I noticed the arm grab was working.
Right.
It just worked.
I'll try it on you first.
Alec bursts into tears.
At work. Yeah. Don't put me in that room. Do not put me in that gag room again. Stop it.
I'd just be doing, I wouldn't even ever be working. That's all I'd be doing. Just
grabbing arms. You
all day. You know, grabbing and you, shoving you against walls, telling you to get me out of whatever room I'm in.
You know, another just very quick thing. So Rosalind Carter passed away. Jimmy Carter's wife. They were married forever. She was 96, had a great life, you know, was not cheated, played her innings. And Jimmy Carter came out with this quote about her. And said, like, everything I ever did, like, she was an equal partner in. And people are going nuts, especially, you know, women are praising this comment. Like, oh, finally, like, a man. What other man would say this? I think he's
loopy on morphine right now.
Yes, right. Yeah, he does not know what he's saying, A. But also, B, I think this is a very subtle way of throwing her under the bus. Because Jimmy Carter is known as like a big failure as a president. Like, listen, great guy. Everybody loves him. But he was known as like a president who came in after Watergate, had everything set up for a Democratic reign for two terms, and somehow pissed it away. So I feel like him saying like, everything I ever did, she was the equal partner. It's like, yeah, it was her fault too.
Yeah.
I
see your point.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, he's on his deathbed and to shovel some of the blame on her, I guess. Yeah,
there you go. Good. So we have another amen in the corner. So Goldie, what we got, it's Thanksgiving is just passed by the time you're listening to this. And I know you had
some thoughts. Well, this is still topical. A couple things. This first one is specifically about Thanksgiving. Yeah. And it's just an idea, which is like everyone likes the leftovers better anyway.
True.
Right? That's sort of a typical. I don't have to go into that.
Right.
So with Thanksgiving, there's always one person doing all the fucking work.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is doing nothing and sort of being like a self-appointed critic of, you know, like one person basically makes the whole thing. I know there are situations where it's like everyone brings something and then like, so, you know, they split the labor. But like in most cases, it's one person doing everything. And then everyone's sitting around like a judge eating the meal and going, well, you know, this the turkey's dry. Not dry this year. It's like, well, you didn't, fuck you, you didn't do anything. So here's my thought. Is that the person who does everything, they, after they make this huge meal, they get to eat it by themselves. Ooh. That's their reward.
That is a reward.
That everyone else gets the fuck out of there, and this person gets to luxuriate
in
eating this sumptuous meal by themselves for the day.
Yeah.
That's Thanksgiving.
Solo Thanksgiving.
The next day, everyone comes over. Ooh. And eats the leftovers, which we agree is better anyway.
Yes.
And then who cares if you don't like this or you don't like that? Say whatever you want. Because the person who did everything has gotten their due.
Yes.
I love it. I love that. That's a bold suggestion.
Okay. So now I'm going to go bolder here.
Whoa.
So Thanksgiving, November, you know, 26th in general, it's late November.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Christmas. And then it's also you get your family together and you give thanks for what you have. Then we have New Year's and you party and you sort of give that. These are the same thing. Like as a writer who's constantly recycling ideas and just slightly tweaking them. Like it's the same thing three fucking times in a row.
Right.
For a month. And then there's like the whole year where like there's times in March where you're dying for a day.
Yes.
Yes.
There's times in like, August, you're like,
yeah, give
you're
me
like,
a
fucking, I want a day. What are we doing? And that's not even to mention Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all these other things that like you see your whole family Thanksgiving. Then you're like, well, we also better get together for Christmas. We just saw each other.
That's true.
We took this whole trip. We just had this same turkey.
Yeah. Like, yep.
What are we doing? And then I'm saying this, and part of this is selfish because my birthday is in early December.
Yes.
So, like, I can never get everyone together because it's just like, well, you know, there's Thanksgiving and then there's a Christmas, then there's the holiday parties and then, and then New Year's. And it's like, no one wants to go out like December 8th for me.
Oh my God.
That's not my birthday, but I'm not giving out my actual birthday.
Okay.
But so just like, let's fucking stop. Like, because let me tell you something. Jesus's birthday, they were on the Hebrew calendar. So, like, it doesn't line up with our December 20th. You know, the Hebrew year is, like, in the 6000s or something.
Right.
Yeah.
We're making all of this up. The pilgrims weren't like, we had a good harvest this year. For the rest of time, it better be on this day. Like, we can give the same thanks in June.
Yes. I love
it's fine.
I know.
March.
Let's try and get Marchmas going.
Marchmas. March giving.
Whatever one March you don't want to move. The New Year's seems like we can't move it.
No.
Like that's the true. Only one tethered to a date.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Everything else is arbitrary. Well, I guess everything's arbitrary.
Well, Christmas is tied to this date of arbitrary magic.
But it wasn't on our calendar. They weren't on our calendar.
I know. It's all dumb. I love this idea of spreading
holidays.
Spread it.
It's literally like an Evite. You see that stupid paperless post animation start to unfurl in your inbox, and the reaction is just like, oh, fuck. like, oh, good, another thing. It's like, oh, these same people I'm going to see at these six parties in a row.
Yes. Yep.
I also love, Goldie, that you are not giving out your real birthday. What do you feel people are going to do with that information?
No one needs to know.
Well, it's funny because you said December 8th, and it hit me wrong because that's the day that John Lennon was killed. And so I'm like, well, how have I not been giving Goldie shit about that all these years, that his birthday is
well,
John Lennon's
my birthday.
Death? Yeah, right. I know. That makes sense now.
But, you know, do you want to have like a John Lennon day that day? And we'll just, you know, he loved turkey probably.
Yes.
We could all get together
stuffing.
For a meal and think about him and give thanks for all the Beatles music.
I would do that.
That is
a good time.
A great
I'd
idea.
Much more be into that than Christmas, that's for sure.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, well, we've said a lot here up top, and now it's time to get to Jimmy Carr's favorite part of the show. Johnny jokes.
Whoa, from Hollywood, here they are for Jimmy Carr. Here's Johnny.
All right. These are particularly terrible today, Jimmy. I apologize, or you're welcome. Questions about President Biden's age persisted this week as he celebrated his 81st birthday. Yeah, the issue was pushed to the forefront by the annual Thanksgiving ceremony where a shaky Biden mistakenly pardoned the White House Roomba. The White House Roomba. Very good Johnny Carson word. It's the only reason I did it.
Roomba.
Okay. The Supreme Court has ruled that the proposed drag ban in Florida is unconstitutional. While the ruling is a blow to Governor DeSantis, at least he can continue to wear the high heels that make him appear 5'6". Yes. High heels. Trans ban.
Did you know, I mean, his wife makes him wear cowboy boots.
Oh, no.
Yeah, his wife demands he wears. Yeah, she demands he wear
them. Wow.
What a little dink. What a little dink
sucks.
That guy is. He's totally
sucks. He can't even wear the shoes he wants.
I know. What a little dink that guy is. All right. At a recent dentist convention in Minneapolis, a fight between two men resulted in one of them dying. While no one knows what started the conflict, they are certain only 3 out of 5 dentists agreed. 2 of them were fighting. That was, boy, I almost broke my back. But
the thing is, wouldn't
that's good.
3 out of 5 dentists agree, but wouldn't those 3 have sided with one of the 2 in the fight? So
no, they totally,
the 5 would have agreed, and then the 1 would be opposition. Like, the 3 were against both of the other 2.
Let's not scrape the plaque off of that joke. let's leave that joke where it belongs, well, which is behind us now in time. A moment we will never get back. And finally,
we'll be brought up forever. Gleefully.
And finally, thank Christmas. In the face of a record housing crunch, this is a true story, people in Toronto have started listing the other half of their bed for rent. While this may sound crazy, prospective tenants are leaping at the chance to have a one-bedroom, one-ass so close to the city center. I just love one ass.
One ass.
That's good.
I like all it right.
Johnny, all right. Duke, take it away.
Well,
make Jimmy proud.
The predicted hurricane failed to materialize. The terrible tornado.
Right.
Was but a category 2.
I appreciate that. Yes, just kind of sucked.
Great. No.
All right. Well, this is disturbing. Bill Cosby is being sued again for sexual assault.
Wow.
Oh.
He has an airtight alibi. At the time, he was committing a different sexual assault.
Oh, God.
Okay. Advertisers are fleeing the social media website X after Elon Musk seemed to endorse anti-Semitic tweets. Musk maintains he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just ordering followers.
Nice flip.
I may have used that flip before, I feel like.
I love that.
I'll do this one as a norm.
All right.
Yeah. A new poll shows support for abortion at a record high. Pollsters are crediting friends' shitty kids.
That was a good one.
Okay. Well, this week, Rosalind Carter passed away. She's survived by her husband of 77 years, former President Jimmy Carter. I think we found our new Golden Bachelor. And I guess I'll do this next one. Could be a Johnny. It could be a Norm. This is my end. Finally, it could be a Leno. I think I'm going to do it as a Leno.
Ooh,
do it.
Okay.
But I was dying for a Leno.
I believe it's a good joke. So I'm not doing it to say like, very interesting story. Hey, Kevin, did you hear about this?
I don't know what you're going to say yet.
All right. Yeah. But I do want to know in general if people have read it or heard about it, because I'm not familiar with it. Okay. According to a new study, sex toys may cause diabetes. If you get diabetes from a sex toy, you're putting it in the wrong hole.
That was a great delivery.
First of all, I got a couple things to say about your Leno. First of all, I love it. Yeah.
Sloppy.
I love the sloppy Leno. I think that helps. There's something about it when you first start doing it, because you do that little whining your way into it. It sounds like there's a mosquito in the room. You know, when you go, and then there's a part of it in the middle where you sound like, this is a brave deaf comedian. Like the way you say it, you're brave. And then they said,
the speech has gotten, everything in the skull has loosened over the course of years. And it's not, there's gaps, there's air. I love it. The brain is not as tightly wired into the nervous system to the mouth as it was.
Yes.
So there's a slight... Just all these factors create some chaos,
right?
And feel free, because it seemed like you were handling a lot there. Like, feel free to throw to me as Kevin Eubanks if you want. Say, Kevin, have you heard of this? No, man. I'll do a quick thing in there, and then we'll be gone.
You have to know. I don't know if you've heard of it. No one's heard.
No, man.
No one knows. I'm the only one. I guess I'm the only one reading the paper. Am I getting like a special edition that just has stories that aren't real? I don't know.
We did it.
This is his waiting for Godot. It's like, yeah.
No one's heard of it.
Just do an entire stage play where he unravels because no one's heard of it.
Yeah, he never gets to the punchline.
Am I dead? Am I dead?
Is this serious? Not one person in this room has heard this.
Is it real? Am I speaking English? Is this a language I made up?
Oh, God. Those were fun.
Can I?
Yeah?
I'm going to do a quick interjection. Next week is Joel Rubin.
Oh, LA Times reporter Joel Rubin.
And
yes.
Then,
talk about a slow news day.
Oh, God, I have to keep that.
We're excited for Joel Rubin.
Yes.
Oh, God. Those are funny, ridiculous Johnny jokes today. Very fun.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And now, in the spirit of Thanksgiving and Goldie, I know you have a bunch of potential is this something, is this anything stories, which were great, and we'll get to in a second. I just wanted to throw this thing out. Thanksgiving, you spend a lot of time with your family. I feel like something that you do often is watch movies. You have different generations of people together. And I feel like ever since we've been kids, there's been this very set list of like, here are the three best movies ever, and that's all you can talk about.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Well, all three of those.
By the way, I love that if you want to put that in the conversation, I think that's worthwhile. But people always talk about Citizen Kane. They talk about The Godfather, which I love, in fairness. They talk about Gone with the Wind. You know, there are these movies that are always right there at the top. I want to throw four movies into that conversation that I think our generation has the duty to, you know, we're changing this conversation now because we're the age of the people that used to force these movies on us saying Citizen Kane, you know, The Godfather, that's it. That's all you
can
talk
about. Okay, can I guess?
Sure, yes.
Brassed Off.
Get out of here. Could you guess a smaller movie?
Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Yeah, okay, you've got one. No, so here are four movies I want to put forward to potentially talking about in the conversation of greatest movies of all time. Forrest Gump. I want to put that one in there. I think it deserves to be in the conversation. I contend that Forrest Gump is like the Thanksgiving dinner of movies. There are so many dishes. There's so much to consume there. You laugh, you cry.
Yes.
Good Will Hunting. I think the more that I watch Good Will Hunting, the better it gets.
It's not your fault.
It's an incredible... Yeah, it's not your fault. It's an incredibly emotional movie.
Now let's do a take where you say it is his fault.
Let's just see if that takes us anywhere fun. Now can you say it's not your fault like a Southern preacher? Get Robin Williams's, you know, different shades. And yeah. All right, so what have I done? Good Will Hunting... Forrest Gump, Back to the Future.
Yes.
I think Back to the Future should be in the conversation of one of the best movies ever. Goldie, I know that's something you've only seen once. I think you got to watch it with your kids and then see what happens. Yeah, it's a good one. Go ahead, Goldie. What do you got?
I did.
Oh, what happened?
They didn't like it.
Oh.
So I grabbed him really hard by both arms.
And then they goddamn well liked it.
Duck.
And the fourth movie I'm going to throw forward, Rocky.
Oh.
I think Rocky is one of the best sports movies ever and one of the best love stories ever. And especially knowing the whole story of how Stallone wrote it and pushed for it and pushed for himself to be in it. I think Rocky deserves to be mentioned.
Have you watched that? Have you watched that with Levy? Oh, yeah. Okay.
No. We haven't watched Rocky with Levy, but I've seen Rocky recently. I mean, I love all these movies, of course. That's why I'm mentioning them. But I think we have a duty to change this list of Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind. No. The Godfather, I'm
you've
totally
created
fine.
A straw man. No one is making anyone watch Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
No, but they're not making them watch it, but it's always brought up in the conversation of best movies ever. And I think these other movies, we are now getting older.
Yeah.
Sure. We deserve to make
our list.
These rules and say, this is what we think.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on.
I mean, I think
take a stand.
This is my
I feel like you're in
moment.
Straw man land here, but okay.
Stop.
I mean, I appreciate
man.
It. You've named good memories, but no one's stopping you from showing these movies.
Stop saying straw man. I can tell you like it. What are you going to start saying gaslighting next? Stop using these buzzwords. Trying to
maybe I
me.
Will.
all right. Well, that got zero traction or help from either of you.
No,
but
I like
if
the movies. I just don't think anyone's being made to watch Citizen Kane. I don't agree.
Well, if you go I've to a film class, yet. You are.
Right.
On Thanksgiving?
No. I'm saying it gets talked about.
Oh,
never
so you're
mind.
Now just talking about the list of greatest movies.
Yes.
But everyone yes. says those are part of the list of greatest movies.
No, they don't.
No one What's says Brast Off is on that list. No, so that would be new information.
Is that your next top five there?
I want those to be included on the list. And
okay.
I can't tell.
All right.
I can't tell what kind of reaction I'm getting from you two. It's very frustrating. So let's move into is this something?
Well,
or is this
I just am very impressed to watch you drop kick that straw man in the head.
I'd stop saying straw man.
And then you're like ripping his stuffing out. It's you're peeing on
I kicked,
him.
I kicked the shit out of that straw man. All right, Goldie, get to your is this anything, because we want to get out of here. We're not
yeah,
doing a long
so,
show today.
Again, this is a segment we've done a few times where we take a story we've seen in the news, or it might be current, it might not, and we just kind of analyze it from a writer's perspective and see, is there an angle here for a pitch or a story or just anything, yeah. you know, because these struck me as interesting, and yes. I'd love to hear both of your opinions on this. So Excellent. The first thing was something I learned. I believe I first encountered it from the History Vids Twitter account, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But it was that apparently Lewis and Clark, in their journey across America, had become incredibly constipated.
And, yes.
And back then, basically, the laxatives of the day were literally radioactive. Like, it
yeah,
was
like
you
mercury.
Would dose yourself with an enormous amount of mercury.
Yeah.
Which would bore its way through your system, and then you would just splatter everywhere.
You'd shit a metal brick.
So apparently, Lewis and Clark left a trail of radioactive diarrhea throughout their journey, and that
yes.
archaeologists have now been able to precisely trace their path because of their trail of radioactive shit. Is this just
that.
Fun to say? Or is this anything?
Yeah.
Well, I will say what this is immediately is a Family Guy cutaway.
Yes.
Like this certainly can at least
exist.
That
was my first thought of like, yeah. we can do something at work. But yeah, please
yes.
continue.
This can certainly exist in Family Guy. Now, I know there was a terrible movie with Chris Farley and Matthew Perry, I feel like, where
yeah,
may they,
I know
may
because
they both
I,
rest in peace.
I thought I had this idea originally, and then it turned out it had been done.
Right, and that's kind of like a mock Lewis and Clark, right?
Almost
like
Heroes.
I think yeah. it actually was Lewis and Clark, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think it can be, I don't know what it is.
Because to me, this is like, it's a funny beginning to a comedy that explains, it's like, look at these people working in archaeology or working in history. And this guy saying this, you know, this is an incredibly value, you present like, we have this incredibly value artifact. We've made this very important discovery.
Yeah.
Of Lewis and Clark's radioactive diarrhea. Yeah. And then it's like, I want to take, and then it's city slickers of like, I want to take this journey with my wife, my child I'm distant from, my yeah. brother who I'm estranged from, my dad who's dying, who was a history buff or something.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
you
I like this idea.
Say, and then you kind of go through it and, you know,
part of it is still untrod wilderness, and then part of it is like you're walking through a bowling alley that's been built, you know,
right,
with all your gear.
Can I throw out a potential title?
Sure.
Shitty Slickers.
Wow. That's really good. That's pretty good. I mean, that's at least in the pitch.
Totally. Yeah,
how you right, describe yeah. it. You say it's basically Shitty Slickers.
Yeah.
And that, like, but you could, because the heart is there. Because say you do it with my dad's dying. I've been estranged from him. All he cares about is history. Right. I never cared about it. And you're like, because of this diarrhea, I can take this journey with him. And then you walk across. And then it's that, you know, that Reese Witherspoon movie where you hike the Appalachian Trail. It's that. It's the trials right. and travails of doing it. It's some American history. It's this relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? It certainly doesn't bump us, but I feel like there are certain people that to us, the word diarrhea is hysterical.
They hate diarrhea. They and it could have been solid BMs.
Right.
They were
no, it doesn't have to be that. Right. Because, like, is this anything? Sometimes it's the idea that gets you to the idea.
Yeah.
But
right.
to me, is that like a funny way in? Certainly. But you're right. That yeah. This has been probably the biggest impediment in my career.
Yes.
I think diarrhea is funnier than other people do.
I know. What's wrong with people that they don't all think that's hilarious?
Well, I didn't, when you first sent it to us, I didn't go the route of humor, which is weird. I was thinking it was more like an episodic show, like the show Bones. So it's like every
diarrhea.
Yeah, so every time they needed to solve, and there's all these mysteries to be solved, and they're like, let's check the sample. And so, like, everywhere they went, they would like check, go to the next spot. I don't know, wherever that mystery was, it just happened to be where Lewis and Clark
from was. The creators of Bones, diarrheas.
I also think that it could be a very good, like Christopher Guest style mockumentary.
Lewis
of like
and Sharts.
Two, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Of like, you know, a couple of serious scholars, historians, and scientists who head out on the trail and then mix.
Discovering that they were lovers, in fact.
Right.
Yes. Oh, that'd be great.
I love that. Yeah, but it could also be like, you know, something like that intercut with flashbacks of like what Lewis and Clark ate, you know. That
yeah. Oh, that's good. That's a good framing device, is that you do the mockumentary, but in a way that documentaries have been modernized since his movies came out, and they now do that stuff of recreations and going back and found footage or whatever. I think that would make it seem contemporary.
Yeah. I like yes, that. I mean, it's certainly hilarious.
I like it all.
Even happen. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
So the second is, there have been these news stories that Vladimir Putin uses a body double, and that
right.
they claim this. They've caught him being in two places at once. And then there were claims that Putin had already died. And I think that the most obvious way to go would be, you know, the president dies and the body double is
like
president.
Stands. Yeah.
I started to wonder, is it like, the body double dies, but everyone thinks the president dies and no one believes that the president is actually the president, ooh, even though he is, and the president has to prove he's not the body double.
Yes, I like this twist. Oh,
the body like double that. Kills the president.
Right.
The president
right.
kills the body double. President and the body double are lovers. The body double is believable. Kidnapped. And the ooh, president has to disappear. I don't know. I these things are all like fun to think about. I don't know if ultimately they're anything. Did it spark anything in you?
Well, we've got one scene fully written out in the mirror. You know, that you got that.
Sure.
Yeah.
In your back pocket. A potential title would be Ass Putin. I don't know.
I feel like he should have.
Oh,
like,
I get it.
Eight
I just got
body
it.
Doubles.
That took a second. It was a time release joke.
JC, what did
I
you think?
I feel like he should have
Putins?
Like eight body doubles or something, and then they all sort of start. It becomes like a spy thriller, and they all start turning on each other because they're drunk with power.
Like
and,
a Jason Bourne style thing, where like one is trying to kill the other seven.
Yeah, or there was that show where that woman had all those, like, she played all these different spies.
Is that Natasha
something?
Lyonne, that thing?
No, but I think it's similar to that. Yes. But yeah,
yeah.
I guess
because you get into Groundhog Day territory pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But I'm picturing an open scene. Like if you were doing the 80s or 90s movie and it's like the alarm clock rings, the hand goes on,
I love
it. Coffee gets poured. That you do this and then you somehow indicate visually that this is happening simultaneously in three places that look identical. Ooh. Like they've set up three identical people in so they can film like the president whenever, wherever.
Oh, that's great.
The presidential palace. But two of them are sets and one of them's the real one.
Wow.
Right. And then it's, you know,
and do you do it? Do you do it really with Putin, or does that not matter? Could you have it be like?
Oh,
just,
I don't think it matters that it's Putin. Yeah. In fact, it starts. The problem with like, I always find, and I like this show, but the problem with using the actual person is it starts to seem very quickly like that's my Bush. Like it just starts to seem like beyond farce in a way that there's such diminishing returns.
Right.
Because you just kind of go, no, I get it. Now they're parodying this. Now they're parodying that. Like it seems. And was Dave something along these lines president was?
I love
killed
Dave.
Or what
the
was
president?
Dave?
The president falls into a coma, and then there's this guy who looks just like the president who they bring in there to be the president, but he's like a much nicer guy, and he starts to be like a better president, a better husband, all that kind of stuff. And Dave is a really, I hesitate to use this term. It's a wonderful movie.
Huh. No, that sounds good. I remember liking it.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is some sort of spy thriller where you set up the double. So they're in a summit with like the American president and they assassinate the president thinking that like, oh, well then this double will be assassinated. Cause it's the only way you can get to another country's leader is to have a summit and then you arm them and then they kill the other country's leader, and then it's like, well, you just took out our double.
Right.
I like that.
That seems more like a drama, obviously, which is not really our wheelhouse.
I will definitely say this is something, but it is also something for one of those writers who's not like me, who has like a real math mind and can sort of play chess and figure out like, five moves ahead.
You could
like,
do it. You just don't want to put cards on a board, honestly.
No. No, I don't.
Literally, if you would write on cards and tack them in front of you, you could do it.
I don't even want to stand up to put the cards on the board, let alone putting them up there.
I understand. So this next thing, I'm going to skip one. I'm going to go ahead to this. So there was this New Yorker profile of the actor Jeremy Strong a year or two ago, and he caught a lot of shit for it because he claimed to be so into this role of Kendall Roy and not to know where Kendall ended and he began. And I thought, like, at the time, it was just kind of funny. And inarguably, he did an amazing job, right? Like, he created an iconic character in one of the greatest shows ever.
Yep.
But now I think it's a little more interesting in that the show has ended.
Yeah.
And kind of where my mind went was like he didn't make as much money as you think. And then he has to actually go and be in a corporate world after having played this corporate character, which in some ways prepared him to be in this world. And in other ways, he doesn't have the proper background. And in a way, it's a little bit like a show I worked on, The Grindr, where Rob Lowe played a sort of TV drama attorney who then went back to, it was Iowa or Idaho, and then he became an actual attorney. But that might not be the right angle, because it might just be like an actor who can't get out of a role.
Yes.
Or just, like, there's something, I don't know what it is, but there's something in how serious he is
that
is really hilarious to me. And I'm wondering if we can figure out something about, like, the actor who's beloved as an actor and then hated as himself.
Right.
You know, and he plays like an asshole, but that asshole he's playing is him.
Right.
So then people don't like him because he's an asshole, but they also like watching him. And it's like they like watching him do it, but they don't like to experience it in real life.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. JC, you had some thoughts on this?
I thought of it as like when he's getting into character. So every day he wakes up and he's got these daily affirmations. So it's like, this is how every day he gets really pumped up and he's like, I'm powerful, I'm this, I'm that. And then so every maybe it would be like a TV show where he's such a good actor slash liar to himself that he believes these lies, right? I guess that's what method right. acting kind of is. Yeah. And every day he has a different daily affirmation. And that day becomes based off of that, you know.
I like that. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. That's a great idea for any show, by the way. If somebody wakes up, has a daily affirmation, and then has to live that day by that yes. affirmation, I think that's awesome. I love
right.
that.
So yeah, that's like becomes the Simpsons couch gag, right?
right. Oh yeah.
You're it's a the thing you're looking for, the Seinfeld stand-up, the thing you're looking for at the beginning of the episode to shape the episode.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Like, I didn't realize the Simpsons couch gag had anything to do with
it. It doesn't. I mean, but I'm just saying it's Seinfeld something you'll look forward to.
Right.
It's yes. different yeah. each time. Because maybe the person doesn't do the affirmation some weeks, right?
Like right. And you guess what it is or something.
By the way, I believe that Jeremy Strong may still be sitting on that bench looking out at the water. Like, yeah. I think that's how into that role he was. I don't think he ever left the bench.
Well, it also implies that if you have to prepare that much, that you're so different from that person, that, you know, it implies that, like, oh, in his real life, he's not like that. Like, you could do the opposite, where someone who's playing a Kendall or a Logan Roy, and then that thing ends, and they're so ineffectual, they can never get the satisfaction they had on the show where people would listen to them.
Right.
You know, it's yes. a little bit, it feels a little bit like a bad 80s sitcom. Like, totally. You know, well, the king of the office is, you know, the pauper at home. I don't right. love right. that, but my mind kind of goes
well,
there.
you know a movie that it's not exactly what you're saying, but a movie that kind of got that right, which is a movie I love, is Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They
I remember
really
liking that movie. So what that was, they were pretending to be Star Trek, oh, and then yeah, they got kidnapped by actual aliens. Was that what that was?
Correct. Correct. In particular, the lead actor played by Tim Allen, who's the Captain Kirk of the show, was like, you know, beloved Star Trek conventions, you know, autographs, all that kind of stuff. But in real life, he's, you know, kind of a drunk asshole. And through the real mission where they get kidnapped by aliens and have to really be like a crew of a starship, like, he becomes this much better guy. Like, they figured out a way to do that in a nice way. I think the way we're talking about is not quite as, like, sweet and heartwarming. Right.
Okay, so then that gives me two different ideas.
Yeah.
The first would be that the whole cast of this show about this iconic business family then goes into some business together.
I love that.
Right. I always love that.
Because it's like via the acting strikes or whatever, they're so typecast as these characters, they can't right. get out of it.
Yes.
The second is that, and this is just kind of really ripping off the DNA of Galaxy Quest, but, you know, no, it's been so long. I think no one would blame you, which is that, like, you know, everything's beamed to outer space or whatever, and the aliens don't know the difference between fact and fiction. They think everything's yes. true. So they think these are the most important people on Earth. And then they bring them to their planet to, you know, it's like, we want to start an economy, or we are having this problem. Yeah. Like, you're really good at dealing. We have this other civilization that wants to kill us and whatever. And you know how to do all this. So teach us, you know, it's like, well, we can't tell them, you know, and then the cast is then having their own succession where it's like, well, who says you're in charge just because you play your turn? Yes. Well, it's like, well, they think I'm in charge because on the show I'm in charge. It's like, well, you know, maybe we could change the show, you know, and it's like, we need the writer. You got to beam him up here. And then you get the writer. It's like,
oh, it feels there's like a it's lot already there. Written. Yeah.
There's something inherently funny about actors anyway. Like, actors when they're not acting is like kind of a funny, sad thing.
It also like, there might be a way to combine it with the Putin thing where it's like, this person's so incredible, we need to get them in to do this important world leader, to do some espionage, to do something.
Or just like, off of the Putin thing, like, maybe they discover, like, getting back to that Putin idea, that like, the Putin double is actually way better at governing than the real Putin. So the government, unbeknownst to the real Putin, has kind of shifted the real power to the double.
And wants to assassinate the real one. Fake one the real one.
Oh, I love
this. This is great. That's
but that person has like a crisis of conscience because they're trying to teach the other guy to be better because they know if he doesn't improve, The intelligence service is going to kill him. And, yeah. But the guy thinks he's the president, shouldn't be listening to anyone. It's like, you don't understand. And so then it's like the two escape together. They look exactly alike. Oh. They're chained together or whatever. And like,
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
It's kind of funny.
That's good.
It's fun to think about. So we'll do one more. The one of them I put in there doesn't strike me as fun right now, but this last one does, which is, and it's not, listen, there are serious allegations, not allegation against this person. This person's been convicted of a shitty crime. That's not. We're going to just conveniently set that off to the side.
Ignore that for now.
Right. But the part is that porn star Ron Jeremy to be released to private residence amid rape case deteriorating health is the report. But is there something funny about a former porn star going into a nursing home?
Yes.
Oh, like very
or funny. Like a retirement community, like not from prison, but just old
just in
porn
life.
Star checks into community of people who had become accustomed to a certain way of life, had become rigid, who maybe their lives had become unexciting.
Okay, I had a show.
Porn star shows up who still has like a zest for life.
Yeah.
Into this environment.
He's a robe open porn star.
And it could be a woman too. Like, I think that, you know.
Oh, that's true.
You could go either way with this, that it's like this brassy lady shows up. You know, who's like, and it really is a version of the Golden Bachelor. It's like, come on, we're not dead yet.
Well, I have an idea. So Ron Jeremy type character comes in. He moves into this old folks home, however, whatever you call that. And he's like the ladies' man. Like all the ladies are like, finally, someone who knows what they're doing. Oh, and you know, he's good with the ladies, and he's like the king of the home. Then the Golden Bachelor decides to move in to this particular home. And suddenly, like all the ladies are like, he's so sweet. He listens to everything I say. He makes my heart pitter patter. And all the women start liking him. And then Ron and Gary start sort of battling for the ladies. But then they learn from each other and become, you know, buddies. It's like a buddy thing. So,
oh, that's sweet.
I like that. Hearing it, this is what I want to do.
Okay.
Is... I want to take, well, first it's like this porn star shows up and they're like, don't you have, you know, just in his robe and then they're saying, don't you have any luggage or whatever? He says, this is all I have.
That's all I need. It's all I need.
He just has
a robe.
Suddenly
funny.
But I wonder, is there a movie in the style of the old Walter Matthau Jack Lemmon movies, which you don't really like see these anymore, but could you bring them back with some very funny old actors and everyone we think of as in their prime. And I'll say this after having watched the new Frasier, which maybe we should talk about separately, but you get like Kelsey Grammer, all these people are old now, they're the right age to do this. So it's like the home is functioning in a certain way. People have lost hope. It's mundane, whatever. Porn star moves in. It's starting to get with all the ladies and these Walter Matthau, Jack Lemmon people are like, you know, we can't let this happen. Like, we gotta stand up to this. And it's like they're starting to be better, but with the idea of making this other guy look bad or to try to drive him out the home just to get the home back to the way it was, which is how they liked it.
Yes.
Which was quiet, you know. But and it's just a very small, like the stakes aren't huge in this, but it's just a very small, funny look at life in a nursing home that you could, you know, get like a Michael Douglas or you could maybe get serious actors to play this with some gravitas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of just, you know, when someone comes in and expects you to be sexual at this age, it's and all these things that maybe you would put behind you, but they also make you realize you'd gotten lazy and you'd exercised passion from your life because you didn't want to get hurt again. But what's so bad about getting hurt one more time? Because at least you're feeling something. Like there seems to be maybe a smaller
message.
Yeah.
Comedy in this. And that is identical to the message of the Golden Bachelor, but just, you know, cause then if this porn star dies suddenly of a heart attack, you have your act to break.
Yeah. Oh, and then, so maybe the other men, like you were saying, they start exercising, like they start taking better care of themselves. He starts suddenly inspiring them to become healthier because this
Wait, are we talking about exercising or
exorcising?
I was talking about exorcising.
Right, but, that made me think of exercising.
There's obviously like the scene of the guy goes to get the Cialis from the doctor, and the doctor is more belligerent and making it harder than he would think. You know, it's like you just go in, you tell him X, Y, and Z, and it's like, yeah. Well, listen, I'm not just giving this stuff out.
Well, also, if you have a nurse on duty whose name is Alice, that would be good, because then you get C. Alice, and
it's
a lot of confusion right there.
Oh, that's funny.
But
because the scene of the first boner in 20 years, if it's like it's going up.
And it could be like Van Nuys Acres or Chatsworth Hills retirement home. So it's like where the porn industry is sort of housed.
Oh, that's
housed.
Funny. Right.
Yeah.
I love this. I love that one. That one's, I mean,
it's small. It's not like it's like a little independent movie with good actors and a heartfelt message.
Well, that could be the tagline on the poster. It could be like a small comedy with a big ... heart.
That's great. That's all I mean, the thing is, you can't get Ron Jeremy, obviously, but you could. No. It could be like a real star turn for a former porn actor who's now like 78 and who's been out of it, who would know what this was.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
I love it.
And especially because they were in an era where it was all clandestine and taboo, and now it's just so out there that they missed the whole thing.
Right. We may have to have Asa Akira as a consultant on this if you don't know who
that is. I don't know who that is.
I do. I sure do.
Oh.
So, you know, just Google her and maybe we get her involved.
Just a consultant
to help.
There's not anyone in porn I will admit to knowing.
Maybe don't Google.
All right, those
Never
are great.
Heard of him. Didn't know who Ron Jeremy was.
No. It's Asa's a she. But I thank you, Goldie, for bringing these very funny stories to our attention. These are always fun.
It's always fun to do. I got to say.
Yeah, no, we got to do that again sometime.
And I do, if anyone listening wants to develop any of these with us.
Yes.
Let us know.
Please call Jimmy Carr and let him know. All right, well, that was fun, and now it's time to get to a portion of the show we like to call Top 5.
Top 5.
Beautiful. JC, this was your topic. Go ahead.
All right, Top 5 skills. Even I struggled with this, but I will go first. Okay, all right, here we go. My number 5 is I would love the skill to be able to pick locks.
Oh.
I'd like to be able to pick locks.
Yeah, we have similar.
Oh, okay. And then my number 4, I mean, all of mine are kind of similar to themselves. Uh-huh. Number 4 is code breaking. I would love, I always like think I'm good at it.
Direct overlap.
But, oh, yes.
Wow, nice. Yes.
Okay, number 3, negotiating or haggling. I can't do that.
Okay.
Can't let go. I can't even go to a flea market and go, no, $5. I can't even do that. Number 2, speed reading. Would love to know.
My dad can do that. My dad
really?
Can do that. Yep.
And my number 1, this actually, these are in no particular order.
Didn't
but
you just say number 3, speed reading?
I meant to say number 2.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah, number 3 was negotiated. Okay.
Yeah, you said it.
Okay. And my number one is card counting.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. All right, Goldie, go ahead.
Okay. Number 5, dancing.
Ooh.
wish I could confidently get out there and do it, and they'd form a circle around me and start clapping. And
yeah, go Goldie.
Instead of just
feeling
conspicuous every time I slightly move. Number 4 would be flying a plane, just to be in my seat, knowing that if I had to, I could land it.
Yes.
It would be a nice feeling.
Yep.
Number 3, code breaking.
What?
Amazing.
Number 2 would be sports line making. But if I could, if I knew enough to really tell, you know that the line was off or on at a sports book and be able to bet on either side of that accurately, that would
be huge.
Awesome.
Cool.
And number 1 would be perfect pitch to instrument coordination. That if I could think music, hear music, and then just go to an instrument and just play it perfectly.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to do that.
That's amazing. Those are great. All right. Number 5 for me, top 5 skills I wish I had. Number 5, good with cars. Like, ooh. I wish I could, you know, if there was a problem with the car, if I wish I could fix it. I wish I knew what the hell was going on.
It's all chips nothing. Now. That era has sailed.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Maybe you're right. All right. So number four, kind of related to that, handy around the house. I wish I was, you know, I wish I could fix things around the house. But fixing is like a big theme here. Yeah, number three, and Goldie, this is similar to something you said a few weeks ago and kind of similar to your number one. Singing. Like, oh, I wish I was a great singer. And I thought about other instruments, but then I thought, well, no, you can kind of teach and practice yourself to get good at an instrument, but you can't really teach yourself to be a great singer. Like, you just have to kind of have it.
Right.
So singing. Number two for me, Goldie, this is one you already have. Cooking. Ooh. I wish I could cook. I can't.
I'm not that very good.
Well, I think you are. And number one, Goldie, I'm surprised this wasn't on there. Dunk a basketball.
That's great.
Listen,
great.
You could if the hoop is 7 feet.
No. On a regulation hoop.
Oh, all right.
That was fun.
Happen.
I agree. Yeah. That was fun. JC, good topic.
Thank you.
Okay. So next week, top five. This is top five New York phrases.
Ooh.
So these are like the top five phrases you would hear in and around New York.
That's great.
So I think that'll be fun.
Okay.
We'll get to that next week. And now we're going to end our episode, as we do every week, on a high note. Wow, that was long. All right, I'll let me jump in. My high note this week is pretty simple. It was just family over this week. I had a great pre-Thanksgiving meal with my family, spending a lot of time with Tall's family, as we do every year down in New Jersey. I always have such a great time with them. So it was just really nice to be with them, in particular in this year, which has been challenging for a lot of people, and I think it's going to be really nice for us to spend those days together.
Oh, that's lovely. You want to go, Goldie?
Mine is, I have caught the pickleball craze.
Oh!
I'm jealous!
I took a lesson with my older kid, and then my wife brought me to a match with two of her friends, and it is so friggin' fun.
I know, I gotta do it.
And not hard, and like the right amount of activity.
Awesome. Love it.
You just don't have just to do gratifying things is not that difficult. And I would recommend you take your tennis court and convert it to a pickleball court, because I think you would have way more fun.
Oh my God.
That's great. So cool.
Wow. 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 I got to do that. So, my high note is, my dear husband, Stu. I know it's been a while. No, I'm just kidding. It's
been a while.
He's been just unbelievably strong and supportive of me for the past month. I've been really struggling, and he's been absolutely amazing through the whole thing. So,
I can see you getting emotional. That's nice.
So, right,
well, I'm glad he has to deal with it. Good job, Stu. that was a fun episode. Goldie, thanks for all those very funny topics.
Awesome.
JC, thank you for always being awesome. Thank you all for listening. And we will talk to you again next week.
I already did it.
That's true.
That was fun.
From the creators of Bones, Diarrheas.